Good morning. It's a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, not any Wednesday. This is the 18th anniversary of 9/11, the September 11th, 2001 terror attacks that killed nearly 3,000 people. And we'll see President Donald Trump at the Pentagon today, where former President George W. Bush plans to attend an afternoon wreath laying. Vice President Mike Pence is scheduled to speak near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, the third attack. And of course, the names, as has been done as a tradition, of those killed we read out at the 9/11 memorial in New York City this morning. One of the things that happened after 9/11, Alan, was the country seemed to come together in unity. And a number of articles today dealing with the fact that the U.S. feels very, very divisive right now as the aftermath of 9/11 memories have begun to fade.
David, 9/11 was one of the worst things that has ever happened in this country. Roselle and I were in Italy at the time. We came running back, obviously, because nobody knew whether the country was going to be at war. Ultimatums were being issued to Pakistan. Either you're with us or you're against us, said the president. And it was a terrible time. It showed, really, how vulnerable this country can be. I mean, you know, a bunch of terrible people got on airplanes and crashed them into buildings. We're trying to crash them either into the White House or the Capitol. That didn't work, but an awful lot of people, thousands of people died as a result of this terrible catastrophe. And the ripples from that will be felt forever in this country. It just shows you how vulnerable we are as a country and how we have to really be very careful about some of these terrible people who would do harm to us.
For example, North Korea's Kim Jong-un, who continues to test missiles.
That's right, David. Here's a guy who has no limits, obviously. He has China right next to him. That's got to be somewhat of a drag. But do we really think that this guy isn't capable of setting a nuke off if he has to in order to make his point and to be noticed the way that he wants to be noticed? This is a real problem. And the idea that this president of the United States hasn't been able to contain this at all is, as a matter of fact, sort of making a fool out of himself. He's given away the store without getting very much back for it. So we'll see.
And then the very security advisor, Mr. Bolton, has been relieved of his duties. He says he's resigned. The Washington Post headline, doubts about loyalty, accusations of leaks, bring Bolton's Trumpian end.
That's right. As you know, this president loves to fire people. It's this thing. Bolton and the president were on different pages, obviously. We are reading in the New York Times and everywhere else now on a number of different issues. There will be some people who think that Bolton was right, that the president had no business setting this Camp David thing up, which turns out to be a futile approach to foreign policy. Here's a guy, a president, who thinks he can do it all, and he can't. He doesn't know what he's doing. And that, of course, is where we are right now. He'll find somebody else and he'll fire somebody else. We've had some wonderful people of great substance who have been fired by this president. James Mattis is one of them. So this is going to go on. Now, there are those who will tell you Mattis resigned, but it doesn't much matter because that's what this is all about. These people are hired on with great expectations for themselves and for the country, and then they can't. And one of the things about Trumpian character that is so interesting is that he doesn't seem to think there's anything wrong with any of it. He's back in the television days firing people.
Someone's been hired in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's conservative Republican Dan Bishop, who won a special election yesterday for an open house seat in North Carolina. As the Associated Press writes this morning, Allen, averting a demoralizing Democratic capture of a district the GOP has held for nearly six decades. But his narrow victory didn't erase questions about whether President Donald Trump and his party's congressional candidates face troubling headwinds approaching 2020, including a new poll out on the president this morning that it has him at his lowest ever.
That's right. I frankly don't see how this president gets reelected. I was somewhat suspicious all along with all those people who said he would lose, the president would lose. And yet, David, I'm so fascinated by the whole concept of you can't beat someone with no one. You know, he's losing in the polls, but we don't know what that means. The polls are not the way an election is conducted. You have two opponents, and so far the Democrats don't have anybody who's ready to go. So this could be anybody's guess. I think with Trump in the 30s in the polling, I don't see how the guy wins.
New York now. Governor Cuomo going after the opioid manufacturers in a $2 billion lawsuit. Of course, joining many others who are now going after what they say has been collusion to sell as much of these drugs as possible.
Well, you know, when you get a nationwide epidemic, people will blame other people. They go back and they'll say, well, you know, this stuff was being marketed to make people use it and to say, okay, if you're hurting, we'll stop you from hurting. But the consequences have been so great. So Governor Cuomo, others have said these companies should pay for what they did. It is a very complicated matter, and I couldn't agree more that if it's proven that they were out there pushing this stuff, it is as bad as any dope dealer because the consequences are the same. David, we got a wonderful letter today from a former student who's now a college president, David Levinson, yeah. And I sent it on to you because I'd love to talk to him. He remembers the days at New Paltz when he stood up and read his reaction paper, something we started very early in the game and which is replicated all over the country right now.
And he said he was scared to get up and speak, and of course now a president of a college.
And speaking all over the place. That's what college is all about. That's where you learn your stuff.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Thank you, sir.
Sir, thank you.